Greetings to you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy again. Father, we just ask your blessing upon us as we meet together, as we open your word. Lord, we pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. Lord, those things that we hear all the time, Father, and see all the time, Lord, help us to truly see them, Father. Lord, fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Says, behold the works of God, for who can put in order him whom God made crooked? In the day of what is good, live in that goodness. But in the day of trouble, consider also that God made one harmonious with the other, that a man may not find out anything that will come after him. I saw everything in my days of vanity. It says, there is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is an ungodly man who remains alive in his vice. Verse 16, it says, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise, lest you be confounded. Do not be very ungodly, nor be hardened, lest you die before your time. It is good that you lay hold of this, and do not let your hand let go of it. For the one who fears God, all things will turn out well. I want to basically focus here on verse 16. It says, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise, lest you be confounded. And then it goes on to say, do not be very ungodly, nor be hardened. In Luke chapter 13, the Bible tells us that the disciples asked Jesus and said, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said, strive to enter in, because many will seek to enter in, but will not be able. And when we think of that word strive, we think of really trying to seek a perfection, or trying to be perfect. Just what God wants us to be. But then we read verses like this, and it says, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. And then it goes on to say, lest you be confounded. And a lot of times our desire to be righteous, and that's what I really want to talk about this morning, is true righteousness. What is it to be truly righteous? And I think this is where the battle comes between faith and works, because in our idea or in our minds, most of the time when we think of righteousness is someone who is just doing everything right and just performing and just working really, really hard to have everything right, to have everything in order. And so people are just striving to have everything just right. And that is what we think of when we think of someone who's righteous. Someone who's just, oh, they're just so careful about every little thing they do. Just so careful about every little detail. And people see people living that way, and those people become frustrated often. Because as hard as they try, they just never quite make it. And oftentimes that just turns into a severity and a strictness that people are just become really, really hardened in how strict they can be. And people who see that react to that and, well, you can't be righteous because look what that produces. And so they say, well, it's only by faith. And so that's all that really matters, is that I have faith. And so they don't even try, because look what trying gets you. It just gets you that strict severity that is a failure, that just confounds people and confuses people. But that's not what righteousness is. That's why he says, don't try to be righteous over much, or don't try to be too wise, lest you be confounded. Righteousness is someone who has faith in God. They trust in the Lord. That's why it's by faith. It's someone who lives by their faith. They trust in the Lord and they rest in that. Have faith in God and don't take yourself too seriously. Have faith in God, but don't take yourself too seriously. See, someone who takes themselves too seriously is always stressed out because they think it's all up to them to perform the way God wants them to. Instead of just resting. To follow the Lord, Jesus said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Following the Lord shouldn't be a stressful thing. Obeying God shouldn't be a stressful thing. It should be something that we love to do. And we can rest in it and find peace in it. But when we take ourselves too seriously, the stress is on us. There's no rest in that. There's no comfort in that, because we're looking at ourselves to perform the way God wants us to. And so we build this expectation for ourselves, and it leaves us completely distressed, because the focus is on ourselves. We're taking ourselves too seriously. And that's where a lot of distress comes from, a lot of unrest comes from in our own hearts, because we're taking ourselves too seriously. We're trying to be righteous over much, or too righteous. We strive for wisdom, and so we look at all these different areas that we can find wisdom, and all it does is confounds us and brings confusion to us. True righteousness is truly by faith. But that faith that we have is a response to what God wants from us. And the rest comes in our yielding to what God wants from us, not in our perfect performance of it. There needs to be a transformation instead of from our performance into our yielding, just to do what God wants from us and rest in that, because we're doing what God asks of us to do. The sower, I thought about this morning, the man that went out to hire the laborers. You know, we think a lot of times that, well, one guy did this much and one guy worked an hour and then Jesus paid him the same. Those people were needed at a different time. You know, we look at how some people live and, oh, God's just seeming to use them. Or they're really bearing a cross. Or they're really doing this. And while the others are standing there idle, just waiting. And then when the Lord calls for them to work, maybe in the last hour of the day, they go to work. And the Lord pays them the same. Because they were just willing to wait. What if they had got all frustrated and went and off and did something all by themselves? Well, they'd have missed the Lord calling whenever it was time, whenever He went to look for laborers. Rest, peace. That's a fundamental part of a disciple, is being able to wait on the Lord. Looks like you're getting passed over. Don't worry about it. You just wait. And when it's time for you to do something, the Lord will pay you the same as the guy that's been going through it all day long. If you wait. If you can rest. If you don't think so much of yourself that you ought to just be out there doing something all the time and just wait. But if you take yourself too seriously, you think you're better than all of that, you're not resting and you're not trusting. Strive to enter in that narrow gate. Most people are striving to enter in to perfection, their own idea of perfection, instead of striving to enter in that narrow gate of faith that the people that are trying to be over-righteous or the people that are all by faith are all missing. That narrow gate is a simple gate that trusts in God and does what He wants them to do. And they rest in that. And there is rest in that. There might not be excitement in it. There might not be self-fulfillment in it. There might not be anything like that. But there can be rest. All we have to do is go through what God wants us to do. Righteousness. True righteousness. Before a person can have true righteousness, they have to have freedom to fail. They have to have freedom to make those choices for themselves. I think this is one of the hardest things for second generation or third generation Christians to do. I think this is why faith has to be bolstered up with rules and regulations, because we can build this form that everybody looks fine and everybody looks good. For faith to be passed on to the next generation, the next generation has to be free enough to make choices to choose to be righteous, to choose to trust God. Sometimes it comes so natural for our young people just going along with everything. They can look just, make good decisions, be good people, do all kinds of things and not have 1 ounce of faith. True faith. We look at the Pharisees and we think, oh, those are bad people. But I see a Pharisee as just someone who grew up religious and doesn't know any different. Never had to make any real faith choices, or if they did, they just chose to stay safe in their choices, in their religion. And it's just so easy to do. And then when real faith comes along, they don't know what to do with that. And it gets to the point where they just have to crucify that so that they can maintain their good life style, their good religious life. In the Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 30, where is it? 31, okay. Oh, I was looking in 28 anyway. Never mind. Okay, verse 31. Chapter 31, verse 10. Wisdom of Sirach, chapter 31, verse 10. Who has been tested by it and found perfection? He has ground for boasting. Who was able to transgress but did not transgress? Who was able to commit evil but did not do it? His good things will be strengthened, and the assembly will talk of his almsgiving. Who has been tested by it and found perfect? Who has been able to transgress but not transgress? How many times have we just built up walls around our brethren and our children so that they'd never be tested? I'm not saying go out and put something before them, but a lot of times we don't trust other people enough to let them go through a test. And by doing that, we think we're really protecting them. But by doing that, what we're doing is sheltering them from ever having real faith themselves. What good is it going to be if we stand before the Lord and we present our children or our brethren to the Lord, and he says, well done. You've created the best bunch of little hypocrites I've ever seen in my life. You just kept them from ever learning to grow. You kept them from ever trusting me. You kept them from ever having to make a choice that would actually have produced righteousness. I don't think we're going to be too, or he's going to be too glad for that. I don't think we're going to be too proud of that if that's what's revealed. we can create little robots that just know all the right things to say, that can see all the wrong in everybody else, that can grow up to stay in church, keep their family in church, keep their family in church, keep their great-great-grandchildren in church, all to the same old church, and not have 1 ounce of true righteousness. Righteousness is not you living your life never sinning one time in your life. Righteousness is not going to the right church all of your life. Righteousness is not just reading your Bible every day. Righteousness is not just learning all the right Bible verses, all the right things to say in Sunday school. Righteousness is when the Lord calls and asks something from you, you do it. Jonah. Boy, pretty good, Mike. Jonah was a prophet. And God told him to go preach to the Ninevites. The last thing in the world that he wanted to do. He wanted to go stay with Israel and keep Israel all perfect. But these nasty Ninevites, he didn't want nothing to do with those people. He hated them. They were against God, against God's people. And God told him to go preach to them. And he said no. God gave him the opportunity to say no. And then let him get on a boat and run away. You cannot have true righteousness until you have the freedom to not do it. True righteousness does not become because that's the only way you know how to live. True righteousness comes when God tells you to do something and you do not want to do it. And you may even run away from it. And you may even hold on to that till you spend 3 days in the bottom of the ocean in the belly of a whale. And then you decide, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. Right there's where righteousness starts. When you surrender your will to God's will. And then he went and did it. And he didn't necessarily even like it then. We find out in the story, he was even upset that these people were listening to God. But he did God's will, even though he didn't like it. The example was given of Peter. Now, he didn't want Jesus to die. But Jesus said, it's got to happen. But he let him make that decision. There's going to come a time when your children are going to want to do something you don't want them to do. Wisdom has to allow them to make that decision. God gave us our free will to choose Him. But that free will gives you the choice to choose not to. If you have to force every decision on your children, You're not giving them their will. You're not even giving them the most precious thing that God has given humanity. The choice to do what's right. We train them. We want them to do right. We protect them from evil around us. We show them a better way, but we do it and we give them the choice to make that decision themselves. There comes a time when you have to let them go. That's just the way it is with a church. If I went around making sure everybody did everything they were supposed to, that's lording it over people. God doesn't do that. Each one of us are here because we chose to be. We have our families here because we've chosen His way. And we've got to take that gift that God has given us to choose to walk by faith, to give that to the rest, to give that, to pass that down to our children, and to pass that down to those who are following behind us. It's got to be because they've got a choice to do it. Sometimes they choose not to. The father that had the boys, the one that wanted his inheritance. Father, give me my inheritance. They had the two sons. One of them just stayed right there. The other one wanted to choose to leave. And that broke the father's heart. But he let him. He let him leave. He went out, spent all of his inheritance, wasted it, and wound up broke in a pig pen, competing with the pigs for a little food. And then he came to himself, it said. And he went back to his father. There is someone who's chosen to follow the Lord. He had to get down to the pig pen. But what if he would have never done that? What if that boy would have just stayed and the father said, "No, you can't go. You'll waste your money. I'm not going to let you fail. I am not going to let you fail and ruin your life." He would have created the best hypocrite that you ever seen. Is that what we want to do with the Lord, with our children? It's hard to let them make their own choices sometimes. And I know when they're younger, you can't always do it. But you can let them fail in the little projects that they're doing. You can let them fail in the things as you're raising them. See, if you never fail, you take yourself too seriously. You don't want to allow anybody else to see your failures. Because you've never failed. And so you've got to keep up this image of being just what I ought to be. Have faith in God and don't take yourself too seriously. Because it's not about your perfect performance. Your perfect performance will stand before God and all He'll see is another big old hypocrite. It takes some faith to trust other people. It takes faith to give our children to the Lord. They won't always make the decision you want them to. And they may fail miserably. But you've got to let them go. You've got to let them go. Just like you got to let yourself go. It don't always turn out letting them go. But that's sometimes what God asks us to do. Sometimes the hardest thing that God would ever ask of you is to let go of what He's given you. Oh, God wouldn't do that. Well, if you're taking yourself too seriously, everything that we have comes from God. And if we can't give it back to Him and set it free, then it's an idol. And that isn't going to turn out very well in the end. It may appear good for a while. It may appear good for generations upon generations upon generations. But it's faithless and it's worthless to God. May the Lord add His blessing.
Jesus.